Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
So many intriguing matchups and question marks in this Heat Nuggets matchup in the finals. We're going to unpack all of it this morning. Welcome, everybody, into Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale. That is Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Gentlemen, hello.
Good morning, Jen.
Remember the theme song from Beverly Hills Cop? Remember this?
Yeah.
The Heat is on. Do you remember this?
Yeah, that one.
The Heat is on. It's on you. It's on the Nuggets. It's on everybody except me.
Nuggets.
Huh?
Gold. Nuggets.
Fool's Gold.
They on a quest.
Wait, Fool's Gold Nuggets?
The Larry O'Brien happened to be what is made of what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Colorado.
Oh, it's over. It's over.
They going prospect.
It's going to be a cakewalk.
Okay.
So everybody.
You already put six up on it.
I did. 6-6. Okay. Heat in six. Nah. The Heat is on. Thank you.
That is what Vegas say.
Yeah. Thanks to Glenn Frey, the Eagles fat song. You like that song?
No.
No.
Wow. No. That's not what Fox Bet says. That's not what the bookies say.
Okay. Well,
they say nothing about no Heat in six.
That's what makes the show fun. I love the moxie, Skip. Great job. You were right in the last round.
Yeah.
All right. So to that point, guys, yes, indeed, the Heat have been underdogs actually in every series so far and in a majority of their games this postseason. Of course, obviously, that hasn't stopped them from reaching the finals. For once again, to Shannon's point, they are underdogs in the series. And guess what, guys? Game one, 8.5-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. Shannon, do you think Vegas is still underrating Miami?
No. It's the number one seed versus a play-in 8 seed that needed 2 games to even reach the playoffs. Mm. That's just the way it works.
Mm.
I don't really know what you expected. You thought it was going to be even money?
Mm.
A number one seed that's really just run through the playoffs on their side of it, as opposed to a team that needed the play-in game, lost the first play-in game, and was 3 minutes away from losing their second play-in game and not reaching it and needing 7 games to get to the finals. No, Skip, I think they wagered it correctly. Now, the Nuggets are the second biggest favorite in the last 20 years. You'd have to go back to 2018 Warriors, and we know what happened there. They was minus 175 to plus 688. And the Nuggets seem to be going off right now at minus 500 to plus 333.
Mm.
And so, I mean, seems to be the Nuggets are 4-1 plus 200.
Mm.
So basically, all the money, if you want to win some money, is on the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
But the Heat, look, Skip, it's not an accident that they're here. We understand that they're a good team.
Mm.
But Vegas is looking at it like saying, hold on. We understand that, and we're going to give them credit. Mm-hmm. It's not like they made them underdogs like the Warriors and the Cavaliers, Skip.
Mm.
But I just think when you look at it, you look at Nikola Jokic as a 2-time MVP. You look at Jamal Murray, who's had the first series where he shot 50, 40, 90.
Mm.
And averaged 30 points in a playoff series.
Yeah.
So, now, Skip, I don't really think they're not devaluing or undervaluing. They're just looking at it saying, this is the number one seed. Mm. They've been pretty much the number one seed in the West for the entirety of the season. The Heat had to fight, scratch, and claw to make their way into the playoffs. And so I think the money is laid where it should be. Mm. I don't think they're devaluing or undervaluing anything about the Heat. Mm. They're just looking at it like Vegas does. It says, hey, this is the one seed, clearly. This is the 8 seed. Although they made it to the finals, we think the Nuggets are the better team.
Okay. And I am laughing out loud at the way Vegas and everybody else, including you, continue to underestimate and undervalue, if not devalue, the Miami Heat. Oh, they're just a cute little Cinderella story. They're like a March Madness team gone pro. This'll end. They're about to be exposed. They're going to be turned back into pumpkins by those Nuggets. Blah, 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 blah. I am loving this because it's all wrong. They are still being underestimated, even though, help me out, did I just dream this? Did I imagine this? I think the Heat eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks in 5 games. Mm-hmm. I think Drew Holiday said, I don't care who was trying to defend Jimmy Buckets or playoff Jimmy, He said LeBron could have tried. Michael Jordan in his prime could have tried. Nobody could have stopped playoff Jimmy against Drew Holiday and the Bucks, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then they just sort of quietly ho-hum the crazy hot New York Knicks, the team on the verge, team on the rise, the hottest team in basketball. They just sort of ho-hum them and nobody really noticed, right?
Yep.
And then all they just did in the previous series was, would you believe that the Miami Heat went to Boston and won three games at Boston out of seven, including game seven? They won three times at Boston.
Is that impressive when you said,
wow.
You said Orlando did that. They came to Boston and won two games.
That should have been your tip off.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is they were prohibitively favored.
They were.
The Celtics were favored just the way this is. The numbers are about the same. In fact, I averaged out the home point spreads of the four games, Miami at Boston, and they averaged out to an 8.5-point favorite at home. Ah, guess what? Here we go again. Although this opened at 7.5, and it's already been bet up to 8.5 because nobody really believes in the Heat. And I told you that one reason you could devalue the Heat right now is that I was supremely, severely disappointed in playoff Jimmy because he wasn't playoff Jimmy over really the last five games. He had the one flourish at the end of game six that fell a tenth of a second short, thanks to Derek White. Mm-hmm. And he was hit and miss, but more miss in game seven because he missed 16 shots, which was more than any single player on Boston missed. 16 shots. Jaylen Brown missed 15, but Jimmy Buckets missed 16 shots.
Right.
He scored 28 points on 28 shots.
Yeah.
That wasn't very impressive. So I look at his stats over the last five games. Jimmy Butler from the floor shot 39%. From three, shot 33%. Those are not playoff Jimmy-type numbers.
Okay.
Obviously, they got saved by this guy named Caleb Martin, another undrafted guy. They play four in their rotation, and people dismiss them because they got four undrafted players from nowhere. But the point is, I thought Boston did not a good job. I thought they did an all-time great job on Jimmy Butler. They did it with Jason Tatum, who's taller and longer than Jimmy Butler. And I didn't like the way Jason played on offense for much of this season, but I loved the way he played on defense because he took the challenge on Jimmy Butler and he just suffocated him.
Well, maybe that's why his offense suffered.
Okay, you could argue that he was focused so hard and he's expending so much energy on the other end that you just run out of three-point gas on your end of the floor. Okay, and then it was Al Horford on him. Then it was Derek White on him. It was just a lot of very tough, skilled, savvy, long defenders who made it very difficult on him. But very quietly, under the radar, this kid, Caleb Martin, came from nowhere. I banged the table going into Game 7. If he has a good game in Game 7, he should be the MVP. And I think you agreed
he
should
game.
Have been the MVP. He has emerged to me as a star, but Vegas is not valuing him as a star. And yet, I'm just going to remind everybody, I'm going to quickly show you what he did to Boston. This is Game 7 at Boston Garden with leprechauns lurking, leprechauns closing out every three-point shot. And here's what Caleb Martin did to the Celtics that Vegas has no use for. Well, that'll work. Huh. Oh, yeah. Up, back up and under. Oh, yeah. Remember this? The little tip in that got him going. Then he goes again. And he's ripping three-point shots. And he's got that little extra push at the end of his three-point shot. He is deadly. On that mid-range games, he beats people to the rim like crazy. He's going to beat Joker to the rim a lot. He's starting to look like Kawhi Leonard on these turnarounds. Is that not unguardable?
Yeah, he shot the ball great. I think he started 11 or 15. I don't know what he ended with, but I know he got off to a great start.
Okay. For the playoffs, the guy you just see make that three-point shot is 44% from three for the whole playoff run. Wow. They played 18 playoff games. He shot 44%. Is he legit or is he fool's gold? Is he just an aberration? Is he a mirage? I think not. I think he's legit. It's why they're legit, because now they have three stars to me that you can count on in big games, including that one.
I thought you was out on Bam. Mm. Are you counting Bam as a star?
Bam's a star for this reason. He plays defense as furiously as anybody in this league plays defense. He sweats like crazy because he gives you every last drop of his sweat. You want to talk about needing to hydrate in timeouts. This guy needs to hydrate because he's leaving it all, literally all of his liquid is out on the floor.
Skip, you said the valuation. You look at what they did in the first round to Milwaukee, beat them in five. They beat the Knicks in six. They beat the Celtics in seven. Yes, they've played great through the playoffs, but what about the sustainability of all regular season? What the Nuggets were able to do? You said going into it, they've been pretty much the best team in the West, basically from start to finish. Okay. They haven't swayed. They have the guy that was a two-time MVP that finished second this year in the MVP running. Jamal Murray has come back. He's fully healthy. He's showing everyone, I'm not just a bubble player. Yep. They tried to put that title on him and said, man, guys were playing strange. He's one of those guys. And so now since he's had that injury, he's had a full year, basically 2 years to recover in between. Skip, he's playing out of his mind. Mm. So when you look at it, you look at Joker and you look at Murray versus the Heat and their two best players is not comparable. Now, if you're going to tell me Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, guys that have played Kyle Lowry, if they're going to still play that way.
By the way, Duncan Robinson for the whole playoff run is shooting 45% from three.
Yes.
That's Steph-like, right?
Yeah, but we know he's a good.
He can do that.
Yeah, he's streaking now. He get hot and cold. Because remember, Skip, for the lion part of the season, he didn't play much.
Okay.
He had played completely out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're saying their two best players, let's just say it's Bam and Jimmy, and you got Yoke and you got Murray. So now you're asking Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, KCP, Bruce Brown. Those are your top four guys and Jeff Green. To somehow not be outplayed by Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson.
Okay. So there's one other big X factor looming here. And he could be the hero of this series because his last name is Hero, as in Tyler. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but they played obviously twice. Eastern versus Western Conference in the regular season. Denver won both those games. But in the first game, which was at Denver, would you believe that Tyler Hero in the second half of that game, a very close game that went to the wire, scored 24 in the second half. Tyler Hero averaged 20 points a game for this Heat team. And it's stunning to me what they've done through three rounds of the playoffs with him breaking his hand in game one of the Milwaukee series. Broke his right hand, his shooting hand.
Right.
He is, they say, reportedly, our man Chris Haynes reported this on TNT, on course to come back potentially for game one, but definitely for the first game back in Miami, game three, which is what they're targeting. But they left it open that he could be available maybe for game one. My point is, this is 20 points a game. This is a guy who yells, I'm a bucket, because he can be a bucket. This is a guy who during the regular season, he put up some big numbers because he led the whole league in free throw shooting at 93%. You don't think that's a valuable weapon that you could have that you throw into the mix, and all of a sudden you're saying, wait a second, maybe they have four stars on the floor.
But most of the time, people, what they do, they attack him. Because like you said, Yoke doesn't play any defense. He plays little to none, even less than Yoke.
That is correct.
So that's the way you have to attack him. You have to attack Duncan Robinson because he's a liability on the defensive end.
But they discovered in game six that they could fall back into
2-3 zone.
To a 2-3. I guess it's a 2-3. It looked like a good
kinda matchup
zone.
Yeah.
It's a matchup zone. And they played the heck out of it.
Yeah.
They played it smart. They played it hard. It wasn't like they took it as, oh, this is our pit stop, rest stop, where we can just take it easy. But they played hard, and it started looking much better than their man defense looked.
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, is that what the Celtics failed to do is they failed to put somebody in there that was unafraid to take a shot at from 15 and could also make plays. Robert Williams pose you no threat at the free throw line.
Okay.
Al Horford is not looking to shoot that shot.
Yeah.
He's more of a rebound the ball, shot. Put it back, and a three-point shot. Yeah. Now you put Yoke in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or you put Aaron Gordon in that spot. Or let's just say for the sake of argument, you put Michael Porter Jr. at the free throw line spot.
Mm-hmm.
He can turn, catch, and shoot. He can also bleed pass to the corners and make plays for others.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably going to start being Yoke. Now what you do when you put him there, because we know there are not very many passers that have ever played the game that's better than he is.
Okay, I will give you that. But if we're talking strategy, help me out here.
Okay.
Would you take Pat Riley / Eric Spoelstra or a Michael Malone? Would you take?
Well, I mean, obviously the coaching leans towards the Miami Heat, but I'm taking Yoke.
as coach on the floor?
Yeah, I'm taking Yoke.
Okay.
Because what's your answer for him?
Well, I got lots of answers when he goes and tries to play defense because, as Rui Hachimura said in his stand-up interview with ESPN at halftime in Game 2 in Denver, they don't have a rim protector.
Right.
Well, they just don't. Well, you want to talk about basket attackers. I got like 8 of them. They all love to attack. Even Bam loves to attack. They are going to be attacking the rim like crazy on the lack of rim protector.
Well, you know, Bam's going to miss about half of those shots that he attacked the rim on.
You could be
right. The other guys, now, yeah, they will attack the rim. But I think the thing is that I think KCP is a better defender than some of those guys that in Boston. I think Bruce Brown is a better defender. I think Aaron Gordon is a better defender.
Yeah, now, Michael, I don't think that. Listen, Derek White made second team all defense. Yeah. So you cannot underestimate
him. But here's the thing, though, Skip. You talk about a guy that's 6'3". Trying to play defense on a guy that's 6'7". Aaron Gordon is a big body at 6'8" playing defense. KCP is a 6'4.5", 6'5" guy playing defense on somebody. Bruce Brown, don't you like Bruce Brown? You say you love Bruce Brown's defense.
I do.
And he's a guy that can make, Skip, and he's a guy that can make timely shots. Because at the end of the day, it's going to come, at some point in time, a game does come down to you making shots. And if you look at the Lakers series, every big shot that they needed to make inside of 2 minutes, they made it.
Okay.
Whether with Aaron Gordon, whether with Bruce Brown, or Yoko Joe with no time on the clock, and he throwing one of them Larry Bird shots up and he's swishing.
Okay. Help me out. How many of these Nuggets have been on this stage in their lifetimes?
None. KCP.
KCP has. He won a ring. I give you that. There's a guy named Kyle Lowry for the other team who's been there and done that, and he might be on his last legs at age 37, but it seems like every time he gets in the game in key moments, he makes some shot or makes some pass or some play where you say, wow, that was big time.
Yeah, well, he get in the game. He's looking to draw a charge. Somebody go run over him.
Okay, I say he will cancel out Bruce Brown, and I have nothing but respect for Bruce Brown, but I say that cancels out.
Right.
So a lot of people think the Nuggets are one of the great offensive teams in the history of the game because they put up those kinds of numbers. So I look at their 15-game playoff numbers. So they've won or played 15 games. And they're pretty extraordinary because from the floor, they shot 49%. That's pretty great.
For a team,
Yeah, for a team. I'm talking about for a team. Let's see. The Heat in the 18 playoff game shot 47%. Then I look at the Nuggets from three. They're 39% for their 15 games. As a team, that's tremendous. Heat 39% through 18 games. That's a cancel. Then free throw line. 82% for the Nuggets. That's very good for a team. That'll win a lot of playoff games. Except the Heat are 80%, so they're right on their tail. Then rebounds. No rebounds, no rings, said famously Pat Riley. And you say, well, the Nuggets, especially with Joker, he just plays volleyball on the offensive glass. He like tips it. He plays volleyball with it. It's like solitaire volleyball. Tip to myself, tip to myself, tip to myself, tip to myself, tip it in, right?
Yep.
Okay, I got that. Except if I look at the total rebounds for these playoffs, for this playoff run, 15 games of Nuggets, they've averaged 44 rebounds a game. The Heat have averaged 41. So there are no slouches on the board. I'll give you that the Nuggets are a little better rebounding team, but not decisively better.
Right.
That they won't have a dominating edge on the glass.
Yeah, I just think the thing is, Skip, is that when it comes down to it, the question is that, and we're going to get into this a little later, you want Yoke, you trust Yoke, or you trust Jimmy Buckets? I mean, because you're in series and games like this, your big guns must show up. Now, we need the auxiliary pieces to also hold their weight, too. You need a KCP to do what he did. You need an Aaron Gordon skipping a game four to do what he did against the Lakers. Because for the first three games, he's pretty much had been a no-show.
Yeah.
He was the reason that it ended up going, that it was a sweep and not going to maybe a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
Because of the way he played, the big shots that he made, the rebound, and even the defense.
Okay.
So for me, I'm looking at it. I'm going to trust Michael Porter Jr., KCP, Bruce Brown, and Aaron Gordon over Caleb Martin, Vincent, Kyle Lowry, and Duncan Robinson. So it's 4-on-4. I'm gonna take my four of yours because you already know the big two who got the advantage. Jokic and Murray is better than Jimmy Buckets and Bam.
I don't think that will prove true in this series over time because I think Jimmy Butler is about to be way better against the Nuggets than he was against the Celtics because I don't think Aaron Gordon can bother him nearly as much as those three Boston defenders bother
him. I think it can. I think because of the weight. I think he can lean on him a little bit more. Now, you're asking, so is Jimmy going to guard him on the other end? Because he's a big body that can post up.
Yeah. I just don't think he's as quick as Jason Tatum is or Derek White or even Al Horford. I think he is a little more plodding, and I think Jimmy will take advantage of that. And I think Jimmy also is classic through the regular season, pace himself. I've never seen a star pace himself the way Jimmy does through the regular season, which is why he didn't even make the All-Star team, but did make second team All-NBA. I think he's paced himself even through the first three rounds, but now he can see the finish line.
Okay.
Now you're going to get every ounce of Jimmy Butler where he won't save it. He'll just give you all he's got.
Right.
And we will talk more about this, but I also like the fact this team is on a cultural roll where they got unity and chemistry and momentum that they are bringing like a force field into Denver for game one.
Okay.
So I like their chances of coming in hot versus a Denver. What's it been, 10 days now?
9 days.
9 days? Whew, feels like 10. And it's a long time to have to sit and watch when you've never been on this stage before.
Rested.
Okay. They'll be very rested. I don't even know if they'll be rusted. It's just a lot of time to sweat and think about, God, we're in the NBA finals.
Yes.
And now we're the prohibitive favorite against an 8 seed. And we had Michael Malone yesterday whining and crying, as he usually does. Well, he whines and cries about, we give us our damn respect. Give Joker his damn respect. And then yesterday he's saying, don't call them an 8 seed. That's not fair to us. They're not really an 8 seed. Look what they did to Milwaukee. Look what they did to Boston. Oh, please leave me alone. Don't bring me 8 seed. Don't put pressure on me, please.
Are they 8? They're 8 seed.
Yeah.
But or eight, like you said, this was the second time. This is the first time in a full season, non-strike year, that an 8 seed has reached the NBA finals. And they did it from the play-in. I mean, Chicago could have prevented all this from happening.
They could have. They almost did. You almost called it. And now they've called your bluff.
Now they, here they are.
Here they are. The Heat is on.
Indeed. If the Heat win, it would be their fourth title in franchise history. And, of course, this would be Denver's first. I can't wait.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify. And I won't
back down. Warriors president and general manager Bob Myers is stepping down after 11 years with Golden State. Myers was executive of the year twice. He won 4 titles during his time with the team. Shannon, is this just one more indication that the Warriors dynasty is done?
No, this is what happened with success. Because sometimes, Skip, I mean, there are two things at play here. Maybe he's looking at it and says, hold on, looking at this roster, looking at we about to be in luxury tag hell, and I might be willing to stay and try to rebuild this thing, but I might need a little bit more. I might need a little more money. Maybe I can do this for an extra $5, $8, $10 million. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's saying, you know what? Nah, it's just time for me to exit stage left.
Yeah.
But what normally happens, and this is something that I've been through having won 3 championships. Skip, when you win championships, you start to get people that feel that they're more important and they're the main reason that you won.
Yep.
You get the groundskeeper say, you know what? It was the way we cut the grass. Those practice fields were pristine. That's why y'all did what you did.
Yep.
And you have food services. What about the food that we brought you Wednesday through Saturday? That was the reason why. Everybody, the people that come in and they clean behind you, it was because of them.
Yep.
And then you get players believing that they had a larger role than what they actually have.
Yep.
But a lot of time, and most of the time, and this happened with your team, someone wants more success, wants more credit for work that they didn't do. And this is what happens.
My 90s Cowboys.
Yes. One guy wanted the credit.
Yep.
He put no game plan in. He was his money. Granted, he gave him money, said, go get what you need to get this thing successful. But Jimmy was like, hold on, wait a minute.
But Jerry did go get Charles Haley.
He go get Charles Haley.
Okay.
But it was Jimmy that was picking Troy and picking Emmett and picking Russell Maryland and picking Woody and picking Godfrey and picking this one and picking that one. And so now it looks to me, Joe Lacob, and like, wait, we get anybody. Skip, you know how it is, Skip. We get anybody to do this. I know a guy up in New England. Now, Mr. Kraft sat on his hands.
Yeah.
He's like, I ain't finna mess this up. There are some things that Coach Belichick did, I believe, that hurt Mr. Kraft to umpteenth degree.
I would agree.
But he wasn't willing to give up those Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
I mean, those Lombardis.
Yeah.
Now you get the head coach. Mm-hmm. It's me. Mm-hmm. Y'all know it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady said, it's you? Mm-hmm. But you did all this?
Yeah.
By yourself? You ain't had no help? No, me. Tom said, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go on over here. I'm gonna pack my bag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna close the door behind me.
Yep.
I'm gonna see what you're gonna do without me. How you looking for it?
Good point.
And that's what happened, Skip.
Yeah.
I don't. Why would you not break the Skip? Four titles in 6 years?
Yep.
He's been there 11 years?
11 years.
Yep. They've lost. Lost a couple of times in the finals. They've lost two times in the finals, but that's six finals appearances in 11 years.
They had a 3-1 lead once, and Kevin Durant got hurt the other time.
Okay. So we could easily have a case. Yeah, that could be Steph Curry could easily be 6-0.
Easy. Just easy. Yep.
I don't get this, Skip. Some things are above my pay grade, and when you deal with people like Lacob and Gruber, that's made more money than I could ever dream of making.
Mm.
They seem to like believe that he's replaceable, and sometimes that's what you get. You get people that believe that you are replaceable, and they mess up a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't. If it's Bob Myers' decision to step away, I'm done with it. But if it was a money thing, get a man a couple of million dollars and work this thing through. Because it seems to me he had a very, very special relationship with Steph Curry. He had a very, very special relationship with Draymond Green.
Very.
And some things you can't put a price on, Skip.
No.
You just can't, just because you're like, you can't.
I would throw Steve Kerr in there also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. They talk about, Skip, how they invite the family on and they do things together. Mm-hmm.
They do.
I wish him the best. But I don't know. This seems like a mistake to me.
Okay. To your final point, if this is just about money, and it could be, then shame on Joe Lacob and Peter Gruber.
Yep.
My gut feeling from a distance is it's not just about money. Look. Bob Myers in the national scope, outside of Dub Nation, as they call it, not a huge figure. He's not exactly a Jerry Westian sort of GM stature figure. But I think I understand why he is stepping down, stepping away. He's basically quitting. He's saying, I'm out, right?
Right.
Because they did offer him a new deal, and I don't know the specifics of it, but I'm sure it was very competitive with whatever the best GMs were making.
Okay.
Yesterday, Joe Lacob said, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I understand it because I don't, but I'm going to tell you from a distance, I think I do. Because Bob Myers sat back and said, I got a pretty good reputation around the league. If I want another job, I'm going to get another job because I'm going to get multiple offers as they come available, right?
Yes.
So I liked what he said. He said all the right things about this job requires complete engagement, a complete effort, 1,000%. If you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Okay, I got that. He said, I need to, as he said, I like this phrase, sit still for a while. I think we all need to sit still, but we can't.
Can't.
Okay. He needs to just go sit quietly. Wife, three kids, just get away from it, let his head clear and say, okay, what's my next chapter?
Right.
Where can I start fresh? Because I think he's getting out while the getting is good.
Yeah,
because he sees what's coming.
Yeah.
It's going south. The dynasty is ending and he wants to get out before it ends on his head, right? Because
he ain't going down with his Titanic.
No, he's not. Steve Kerr said, the day after all this ended, after the Lakers ended their season in six games, that their trust got broken in their organization when Draymond punched Jordan Poole just before the season started.
Right.
The culture that was the best in pro basketball, the side of Miami's, obviously, got fractured by that one shot to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is saying we never quite recovered. We never rebuilt the trust that we used to have.
Right.
Because Draymond punched the up-and-coming new third wheel, the new third star.
But you know what, Skip? You have to give Bob Myers and Steve Kerr some credit that they were able to get it back on the tracks and get it as far as they did. Okay. It could have derailed everything.
Okay, but they didn't quite get it back on the tracks in the regular season because the defending champs lost 30 road games. That's preposterous.
That's probably where the trust is needed the most.
Okay, on the road, they lost 30 times. Yeah. It was the fourth worst road record, obviously behind Detroit and Houston and San Antonio, the three bottom feeders.
Right.
The Warriors did that. And then what happened in the six games against the Lakers? Steph Curry is now 35 years of age.
Right.
And maybe he showed a touch of age.
Right. No,
I'm not saying he's washed, but maybe he's starting to show a little downside, a little outside the prime, because in the six games against the Lakers, he shot 34% from three. Well, you know and I know he's 44. He's 48. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest shooter ever. 34%. And your Lakers benefited greatly because every time I kept saying, Steph, go. Okay, you got this, Steph.
Right.
No, I don't got this. And even Clay shot 34% from the floor, Clay Thompson. And he's on the verge of seeking a new extension for the max.
No,
you going to do it?
Hell no.
Okay, well, that's what they're saying. That's what Bob Myers, he's saying. Clay is so beloved in Dub Nation. Do I really want to have to make that decision?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not giving a guy with that. Skip, we paid him for those four titles.
Yeah.
If I give him a max deal, I believe he's going to play like he did when in the process of winning those first three titles pre-injury. I'm not giving the man $200 million on what he's done. I'm giving the man $200 million on what I believe he can do.
Well said. I agree. I'm with you.
So, no, I'm not giving Clay Thompson.
You want to talk about making a hard call?
It's an easy call, Skip.
Okay. Draymond Green, he's got a player option for it's 27.6, to call it $28 million.
What are you looking for, Draymond? Look, Skip, I think the thing is, how do we get you an extra year plus an option? You're not going to get max money. So we're willing to do your option this year, next year, and a player option and a player team option or however option you want to do it.
Okay.
So basically it's 3 years, but it's 2 years plus one. How do we get there? What's a number that's comfortable for you, but palatable up to us?
All right. I hear what you're saying. But my gut feeling about Draymond from a distance is he's become a little more trouble than he's worth.
Okay.
And I believe there are those within that organization who believe the same thing.
Okay.
Once again, beloved in Dub Nation, beloved in the locker room, guts and glue. At least he has been. He's a little more on the downside. He's not giving you quite the impact he used to give you. Against the Lakers, he averaged 9, 8, and 6. Not bad.
Right.
Not bad. Kind of Draymond-esque numbers. But really?
Right.
2 for 9 from three, but he's always 2 for 9.
Let me ask you a question, though. It's reported that if Draymond comes back, they're looking at $500 million. Skip, how much a championship worth? If I got to pay $300-400 million a year, I don't care what you say. Championships aren't worth that.
Yeah.
You
to pay the luxury tax.
The luxury tax, yes.
Okay. Well,
you're already paying those salaries of 100 plus million, and now you're going to pay $300-400 million on top of that? Businessmen look at, okay, we buy for a little, we sell for a lot. Skip, that's buying for a lot and getting charged even more.
Yep. Okay, I've had some dealings with Joe Lacob in the past. I don't really know him, but I feel like I know him a little bit. He's a good guy, but I believe he has become what I call spoiled rotten by all their success.
Yes.
He thinks you can just snap your fingers and, we can just...
Oh, is that the one that said we changed the game of basketball?
Yes. No, that was back, he told the New York Times magazine.
Yeah.
That was like 2012-ish or 13,
20. They had won the championship.
Okay. Won?
Yeah, they had just won. Okay. I think the first year, the 2015.
Maybe it's 2015, but it seemed like it was very early in the run where you're saying we've changed basketball.
Yeah.
Steph did.
Yeah.
He revolutionized with the three-point shot.
Right.
I got it. But he was saying our culture, our identity, all the above. Okay. Now, before I get back to Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr. I love Steve Kerr. He's a good man who loves his players to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
But he bleeds basketball. He takes it too seriously to me and very personally, and he is a burnout candidate, and you don't think Bob Myers gets that because right. nobody knows him any better than Bob right. Myers. So he's looking at the scope of this, and he's saying, boy, Steve's right on the edge. He needs to sit still right. for a while. He right. needs to get away right. from this, but he's we think he's coming back.
Skip, when you look at it, when you see what they've done over the, let's say, the last 8 years,
yep.
in the long, long run, it's different now. These players are harder to coach and to manage.
They are.
They have so much more going on. Back then in the 70s and the 80s, there wasn't no social media.
Okay.
Wasn't nobody trying to build a brand but Jordan.
Okay.
Now, everybody coming to Skip, he the 15th guy on the bench and he building a brand.
And speaking of Jordan, who's not exactly Michael Jordan, Jordan Poole.
Yes.
I think there's some concern within this organization, probably starting with Bob Myers. Is Jordan Poole really an ultimate warrior? Is Jordan Poole really made of warrior championship stuff? I'm not sure about
right.
that. And once he got his money, which they gave in and gave him, he did not play up to his contract.
No, he didn't. Especially, right? especially against the Lakers. I mean, yep. I think he had that one shining moment.
Yep. Yep.
But no. For the kind of money that they paid him, excess yep. of, I think, $30 million a year.
I'm talking about basketball backbone. Right. Hardcore championship character. Does he have that? Because obviously Steph and Clay have it.
Well, he's trying to become that, Skip.
Yeah.
And you notice that they try to talk to him. It's about his menace, and he's moping, he's pouting.
He was.
Draymond, he's not going to listen to Draymond. Draymond is not going to be able to get through him ever, ever again.
Yeah.
Even Steph tried to look, bro, hey, we're a team. This is what we do. We don't argue about minutes. We play. We do what we do.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the question is, Skip, will it ever be, I don't know how you put that genie back in that bottle once you've broken the bottle, because it's out.
It's out.
And it was
it's
in a
way out.
It's 1,000 pieces.
And you kept saying, who leaked the video?
Yeah.
Somebody leaked it on Draymond.
Yes.
Somebody wanted
yes.
to do damage
yes.
to Draymond.
Yes.
And we never heard. Joe Lacob said, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We didn't get to the bottom of it.
Guess who at the bottom of it?
Mm.
That's why they didn't get to. They at the bottom of it.
All right. Now back to Joe Lacob. Clearly, his son is being groomed in the basketball department to replace Bob Myers at some point. Well, he is. It's Chris, and his title is Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. Now, they also have
Mike Dunleavy.
Dunleavy is the VP of basketball operations. I'm not sure about, but one's the executive vice president. So I think Kirk is a pay grade
tighter.
Above, right? Mike Dunleavy. And again, I never loved Mike. You can go back and look what I said the night they drafted him. I said, this is a bad idea. But as far as this job, I think he could be great at this
yes.
job. And they lauded and applauded him yesterday. But I know what's coming. You know what's coming. The man owns the team.
Yeah.
It's like Jerry and Stephen Jones. What's coming? Help me out here.
Yep.
Stephen's coming.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Kirk is coming, and Bob sees it, and Bob's like, you know what? This whole thing is teetering. I just gave you like 12 reasons why Bob Myers finally said, I'm going to be just fine because I'll get another job.
Right.
I could take a year off and just cool out and refresh and revitalize and get ready. And then I can start elsewhere with much better circumstances than we have right here, right now. Not only is it teetering, it feels like the dynasty is dying. And I'm going to leave you with, remember what the great Branch Rickey said in baseball? The ultimate maxim was you must trade a player a year before you think you should. Well, it's operating on all these things we just talked about. Don't try to salvage one more year because it's you're going to lose with it, right?
You don't want him to down the vine on your watch.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So I think he made the right choice.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be right. I mean, that big luxury tax is coming.
Whew.
It's coming, and I don't know how you keep all these pieces. There's no possible way they could possibly give Clay a max deal, Skip, with what's coming down the tunnel for them.
Yeah. Warriors had a great run, but
yes!
I'm sure it's going to continue.
It's going to take some major maneuvering for them to survive and recoup from this new CBA deal. And then, guys, one other point, Skip, you brought up Draymond Green and that player option. You know, he told Mark Spears post-game in the playoffs that if Bob left, it would certainly influence his decision on what he was going to do. So a lot of question marks surrounding that franchise right now.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
Five times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
And I won't back down. Bill Barnwell just did a deep dive into NFL teams' off seasons, and he was ranking where each one comes in. He says the Cowboys are third overall. Parting ways with Ezekiel Elliott and trading for Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore, some of the main reasons Dallas landed so high on Barnwell's list. Shannon, I'm going to let you go first here before Skip jumps in. Do you agree with Bill?
No, I thought look, I get it. I think Stephon Gilmore is a valuable piece. Clearly, he's not the defensive player of the year caliber that he once was, but I do think he's a valuable piece. He's better than what they had on the other side of Trayvon Diggs. So that's a plus. Brandon Cooks is a deep threat, but are we sure that Dak Prescott can get him the ball? Because that's really not his forte. Because he talks about how CeeDee Lamb just walks up under the deep ball, and he ain't hit CeeDee Lamb on a deep ball yet. So with that being said, and you're running back. What y'all ain't gonna replace Zeke? You good? Oh, you like Ronald Jones, even though he's 3 years removed from his last needle-moving campaign. But you like Ronald Jones. You like Rojo, who's been in the doghouse at Tampa, left there, went to the doghouse at Kansas City. Now he's in Dallas. Mm. But that was a good move for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you addressed your offensive line? Have you gotten any depth at the offensive line?
Mm.
What about your defensive line? Oh, you got Mazzy. Mm. Y'all got Mazzy. Woo! Mazzy Smith. Mazzy. So y'all straight.
Yep.
Y'all just... Every time, every year, for the last 7.5 years, I come out here and we talk about what the Cowboys did and them stinking no good for nothing jokers do absolutely nothing every year. And I expect this to follow suit.
Mm. Speaking of stinking no good jokers, I'll get to see one tomorrow night.
No, right? No, don't do that. Right? You wish you had a joke on that team.
Shannon, you're in trouble again. Here they come.
Why you do this every year to yourself?
They did have the third best. I thought they had the first best offseason. I don't know how you can get much better. You went out and stole Stephon Gilmore. I give you, he is not what he used to be. He's going to turn 33 in September, so he's playing a little more with this than his physical body.
Yep.
But he still is ranked as a top 10 corner who can make you one or two plays a game that are top five caliber plays where you say, ooh, that's pretty great.
Right.
And he is so much better than the endless chain of weak links that we kept trying at the opposite corner of Trevon Diggs last year because it was one no-name after another. And the opposition would say, we're going there, we're going there, we're going there. I don't think they're going to say, we're going there. In fact, I think Trevon Diggs is going to get a lot more balls thrown his way because he is much more of a cluer and a gambler than Stephon Gilmore is, who is a legit, solid textbook corner on the opposite of the gambler, the rambling gambler, who could lead the league in interceptions because he gets his hands on a lot of balls. He's going to get smoked. Okay, I give you that, but I like the bookend of these. I like the fit, the yin and the yang of these two corners. And then Bill Barnwell points out in his piece that you've got a Micah Parsons who's going to be a $32 million pass rusher, and he's only making $4 million. Well, the window is going to close on that real fast.
Sure it is.
And then a year from now, we're going to be talking about, wait a second. Now you're busted. Now your cap is busted.
So y'all gonna go? So you gonna give Michael Parsons $32 million? What y'all gonna give CD?
Okay, but we don't have to worry about that at this moment, right?
Okay.
So the window is about still that much open because it only cost you a fifth round pick to go get Stephon Gilmore, and it only cost a fifth and a sixth to go get, you mentioned, Brandon Cooks. At least he's a legit, proven deep threat, and I think he can still fly.
You still looking at how big a crack in that window? That you looking at?
About that.
I just closed
with your fingers.
Yeah, I just closed it on you. Yeah, it should.
Okay. You could be right. But all I know is I wanted Dalton Kincaid because we still have a hole at tight end. We got four and we got none. But Mazi Smith fell right into our laps, and now you've strengthened your strength. I think they're going to have the best defense in pro football, and that's got to take you somewhere.
What about them 100-yard, all them big 100-yard games to 200-yard games y'all gave up last year?
Thank you. That's why. We got an anchor. We got a Haloti Ngata. We got a Vita Vea. We, dare I say, we might even have a Reggie White.
Okay,
just as I'm talking about an anchor, a 330-pound run stuffer. I'll bet you this. I'll bet Mazi Smith has as much grown man strength, he's still a young man, as Reggie had. He's not going to have Reggie, because who could, God bless him. I mean, he was immortal. But again, Reggie had such physicality. He was so, I don't even know if he's weight room strong. Did your brother play
with him? My brother played with him,
Okay, but he was just a he-man's man. He was just like, you couldn't move him.
Right.
So it's hard to run against him because he just engulfs two blockers and then swallows your running back whole. Okay, Mazi Smith can do that, and we did not have that. So you strengthen the strength of your defense, and then you go on about Rojo this and Rojo that. Tony Pollard was the breakout star of the league.
Is he coming off an injury?
He is back on the practice field as we speak.
He walking. He ain't doing no running. Okay.
All right, but he's going to be just fine. By all accounts, he's right on track to be ready for the opening game.
Okay. But you still haven't told me. Okay. Last year, Tyron Smith played only four games.
Yeah.
Tyler Smith was a godsend. He played really well. Tyler Biotis, Zach Martin, Terrence Steele. Terrence Steele coming off a torn ACL.
Okay.
So let's just say.
What if he's Terrence Steele again? Because I think he was grading as the best offensive lineman until he did that.
So he's coming off an ACL. So you expect that happened in week 14.
Okay. It's one position where you can get away with an ACL.
Okay. Let's just say what happens if one of these guys goes out.
Yeah.
Where's your depth?
Okay. Well, what if they don't go out? What if you have one of those magical years?
Okay, when was the last time Tyron Smith played every single game?
I'm looking at 14 out of Tyron Smith. I think he was pretty
good. When was the last time he played 14 games in a season?
Well, this is going to be it.
So, as he's gotten older now, how old is Tyron Smith, 33?
Yeah, but he's not age old. He's just years old. He's like beating old.
Yes!
Taking a beating.
Yeah, that's
okay, I got it.
That's the thing with sports.
You can say that with Zach Martin,
That's
too.
The thing with sports.
Okay.
32 is not old in real life, but it is the sports years.
Okay, I think he and Zach Martin have a couple of big years left.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl caliber.
Well, Zach Martin is arguably one of the best offensive linemen in football.
All right. And I'm going to say this again. Mark my words, maybe eat my words. Deuce Vaughn was the steal of the draft. He was made for this offense, for this quarterback. His father, obviously, in the scouting department. I watched him for all those years at Kansas State.
Yeah.
He annihilated my Sooners. Every time I turned him on against anybody, name it, against Texas or Baylor or whoever, against Alabama in the bowl game, they could not stop him, and he can run between the tackles.
Right.
And he's like 5'6", but he's
can't
stout.
He can't be no smaller than Darren Sproles,
who
went to Kansas State. It was
same mold.
Yes.
I think he's a little quicker than Darren Sproles.
You think so?
Just a little more electric. That's just me. And plus, he's stout enough at 205-ish. He can run between the tackles because he skitters between the tackles. You can't find him. I'm not saying he's Emmitt Smith, but it's Emmitt-like, where Emmitt at 5'9 was so small they couldn't find him until he's 5 yards upfield, and then Emmitt could run a lot faster than his 4.6 40 indicated that he would. Well, Deuce Vaughn's the same way. And plus, Deuce Vaughn, you can put him in the slot and throw it to him. He might be better catching it than running it. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to change life. He is going to electrify the crowd, Cowboy Nation, and the locker room. Because you know what I know. That's the one position on the football field
that
translates immediately.
Sure.
You can just step on the field.
Yeah.
If you can do it in big-time college football, you can do it in pro football.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Okay. So, again, I love Zeke and what he was, but you know what I know. He became a liability.
I tried to tell you that
for
the last.
You did. But I kept saying it's a contract year because it was a contract year in effect because – he might not get another shot.
But
you're playing for your football life.
You had been around the game too long and saw too many running backs.
Yeah.
When they hit the wall, Skip, they don't get it back.
Well, unfortunately,
that's the one position.
Unfortunately, he hit the wall just as he got paid. And that's hard to deal. It's hard to live with because you had to live with he's hit the wall for 3 years. And you know his yards per game kept going down, down, down.
Yeah.
and he ground out 55 yards a game. Then there's a lot of, in the Bill Barnwell piece, there's a lot going back and forth because Mike McCarthy says, we're going to run the damn ball, which is why Kellen Moore is now with the Chargers.
Well, then you're going to run the ball. Why do you need D-Hop?
Well, when you look at what they did last year, they were pretty balanced last year. Yeah. I think that's an exaggeration. I think they ran it a lot. How many 1 yard and a cloud of dust runs did I have to watch Zeke run last year?
Well, you don't need D-Hop. You don't need to pay a $15 million, $16 million yeah. dollar receiver to run the football, Skip.
Okay, but to me, D-Hop is about message. It's about magnitude. It's like, we got him and you don't.
Right.
We got Micah Parsons and you don't. It's like star power where you load up. All of a sudden, the Baltimore Ravens went and got Shannon Sharp from the two-time champion Denver Broncos, and it's star power. And it says to your locker room, we got a real guy, right?
Yeah, but
they didn't have a real quarterback, but they had a real receiver.
But we were going to run the football, I was at a different stage of my career.
Yep.
The question is, at that point in time, what is important to D-Hop? What do you believe is important to D-Hop?
I would hope a ring is important. I would hope. Wouldn't you? I mean, is it just about trying to get paid one last time?
I don't know him well enough to really have an opinion one way or another. But I do know this. A lot of people say rings are important when money is the most important.
Yeah, okay. All right. I got it. But it couldn't have been more than 6 weeks ago. He's in Dallas campaigning on whatever it was, some IG Live or something, saying, Jerry, I'm here. I'm working out. Come and get me. Right?
That was for you.
Yeah, it might have been for me. Maybe just to tease me.
Skip, your Cowboys open up the regular season on the Monday Night Football stage at MetLife versus the Giants. Should be a good one.
We got that.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.